that they're worshiping Jason as a deity, which is insane. This isn't the spirit of my dead son is speaking, is speaking to me, and he speaks to me and tells me what God wants. It's that Jason is the deity, which is very strange and wasn't clear until this episode.
Yeah, and all these people are like, sure.
All these people are like, cool. Oh yeah, he's
Cool.
God now. This your dead son is God. That's what
Yeah, it's
happened
not,
with all these
he
people's
wasn't,
minds.
it's not even like he was martyred. They were just like, oh, some dead kid, sure.
Hello, pals and gals, and welcome to another episode of XOXO
XOXO
Riverdale.
Riverdale.
I'm Louie Pearlman,
I'm Kate Batter.
and I am Queen of the Bees.
Oh
I
boy.
was just
Oh boy.
waiting to do that. This is XOXO Riverdale, your favorite Riverdale fan podcast, hosted by two grown-ass comedians. We're way too old for the show, but we're watching it anyway. If you like what you hear, the best thing to do is subscribe to us. And you can follow us on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. Today, we're dealing with Chapter 92, Band of Brothers.
And elephant in the room, because I know all the listeners are in anticipation about how we're going to celebrate this, our 100th episode of the
This
podcast.
is our 100th episode of the podcast. Oh my gosh, Kate, how are you celebrating?
I ran, basically ran and got a burrito before this.
Yes, and I ate an orange.
Yep.
Yum,
So
yum, yum.
big birthday foods over here.
Big birthday celebration, 100th episode of XOXO Riverdale. Get out the good time, gals. 'Cause we
Oh
are
boy.
celebrating. They better be dressed like stewardesses because stewardesses are on helicopters. I'm gonna chug a bottle of maple syrup to celebrate after this episode is done.
Cool. I'm gonna sing a song, sort of, okay?
Yeah, you're gonna sort of sing a song that maybe isn't really in your range.
Yeah, but it's okay because it's like a fun one.
'Cause it's fun, 'cause it's so fun when you
It's fun.
sing. It's so fun when you sing, Kate. Everybody loves it when you
It is.
sing.
It's a big part of our show, so.
Yeah, it's a big part of our, yes. Remember when I wrote that song for the podcast and I did it in 5 minutes and I repeated the lyrics and didn't realize it? That was a long time ago on the show.
Was so long ago.
I just remembered it. What a wonderful reminisce. Let's do one more minute for our listeners, and then I promise we'll move on to our actual show of reminisces about this podcast.
I was thinking the other day about when we had like our real teenager,
Yes, that
and
was awesome. And we made her uncomfortable. That was
yeah,
great.
she didn't want to answer like any of her questions.
Yep, that was good.
It was fun.
That was a long time ago. Remember when I was been thinking about this guest a lot lately. I don't know why. I just think it was when we had my friend Pat Thornton on, who's an actor in Toronto who read for Papa Poutine.
Yeah, I was gonna say, wasn't he Papa Pucino?
Yeah, he read for Papa Poutine and he was a big Riverdale fan. I should actually text him. I wonder if he's still watching it. I'm guessing the answer is no.
No,
Yeah.
I don't think I personally know anyone, including teenagers, aside from you that still watch this show.
Well, I actually have a friend at the bakery where I work who's awesome and smart and lovely, who's like a young woman who still watches it regularly. So we talk about every episode, so we'll have her on.
Yeah, that's important.
Yes,
Especially
absolutely.
to have the young people.
Yes, the young people, because this show's for young people.
Yeah.
Young people who drink Kativa. Young people. The prebiotic drink Kativa, or Kavita. Sorry, Kavita. That's what it's called.
I knew what you were talking about, but would have never been able to name it.
My apologies. Yeah. Yeah, but thanks for everybody that's still listening and who's stuck with us for 100 episodes. I think it's pretty cool that we've done 100 episodes of this podcast about this. Just like, I feel like this show has driven us to lunacy.
Yep.
Remember when we did two separate episodes that were mainly about the most important subject for all Riverdale fans, Adam Sandler?
When being reminded that there were two Adam Sandler episodes.
It consecutively.
Consecutively. Two Adam Sandler episodes. We should do, it's that time of year, we should cover Hubie Halloween.
We should cover, did we talk about Hubie Halloween in the second Adam Sandler?
I think we didn't get in depth, but like the take is that it's better than it should be.
Yes, it's quite good. Hubie Halloween, highly recommended from the creators of XOXO Riverdale, Kate Vatter and Louis Perlman.
Hubie Halloween.
All right.
It's on Netflix. Great.
We're going to get into the main reason why y'all listen, which is our recap of Chapter 92, Band of Brothers. But first, any big Riverdale news that we need to discuss?
Great picture of Adam Sandler today. Just kidding. I did see a very funny meme, but that's not what we're here for. It is, but it's not. So I will say that meme I saw him in was in context with the Met Gala, which
yes.
had both Lily and Charles.
Yes, Lily looked amazing.
She did, and she understood the theme, but she didn't do it very well.
What was the theme?
It was in America, and her dress was a tribute to Marsha P. Johnson.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Cool.
And there were several of them. She had an American designer too, which was like 50-50, even though that seems like the simplest thing to do.
Totally.
But the woman who, I think she's like a TikTok makeup artist, just like killed the Marsha P. Johnson. It was so beautiful and like so well done.
Mm-hmm.
And like an actual like clear tribute.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some people who got it and mostly people who didn't. And Lily mm-hmm. and Charles, I mean, it's harder for the men to get
yeah,
it.
The men but, just mostly wear suits unless you're yeah, like really ostentatious.
Like,
yeah.
Wear a suit by an American design. Unless you're Lil Nas X and then you're free.
Yeah, exactly. And then Lil Nas X can do whatever he wants because he's Lil Nas X.
He's an angel on earth.
Ugh, he's going to end up hooking up with Cam Caskey, and I'm so jealous of Lil Nas X. Cam Caskey is such a dreamboat.
I don't know who that is, but there is like picking up rumors of him and Jack Harlow,
Ooh.
Who I only know because he's in that song with Lil Nas X.
Cam Caskey is one of the March for Our Lives, Every Town activists. Who okay. came out as queer this week and then used it very charmingly as a way to reach out to Lil Nas X to hit him up, which is really awesome.
Oh, he's my favorite now. I
yeah,
love that.
Yeah, yeah. All his tweets this week regarding his coming out were like incredibly charming. And I was like, I wish I was Lil Nas X so I could date this cute, smart activist young man.
Yeah. But, yeah. If he weren't so young, he would be dating DeRay McKesson already, but
fair enough. So what else is going on in Riverdale?
they are filming and we have a premiere date for season 6.
Season 6, which is premiering January 27th, 2058. No.
Don't we wish.
Yeah,
it
no.
is November 16th.
Oh, cool. So we're getting right back into it.
Yeah, there's like a 1 week break and then it comes back on Tuesdays.
Oh, they're moving it. Great.
Yeah.
No rest for Kate and Louie.
Nope, because it makes a difference what day it's on.
It does make a difference what day it's on. Yeah. Maybe we'll change the release date of this podcast. We'll see.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I don't know what we would change it to because the weekend doesn't really make sense. And then Friday's a very fast turnaround, but you know. We'll
yeah,
see.
We will see. We will see. Anyway, wonderful.
Well, you have news too, right?
Oh, just a little bit of news. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a Riverdale spinoff comic series that's going to be weekly on Webtoon, which is a way to read online comic strips. And it's called Big Ethel Energy, and which is fun. And it's basically about what happens to Ethel after she graduates. So it sort of fills in those gaps. And it's apparently, from what I read in the synopsis, to me, this sounds like a great little project. It's about her trying to get out of that town and leave it behind. And then the mayor contacts her about writing the history of the town because she's become a wonderful writer. And she sort of has to reconcile with her past and with like how poorly the main characters of Riverdale treated her, which is literally what it says in the synopsis. It's like, but she has to deal with the fact that Betty, Veronica, Archie, and Jughead were mean to her. Like, which is true. So yeah, anyway, but it's the first time that there's been an Archie project on Webtoon, which is pretty fun. And it's a pretty cool, accessible way to read comics. So I'm all for it. I think that it sounds like it has the potential to actually be like a fun reason to be still watching Riverdale. Yeah.
So here's a very good transition.
Yes.
Big Ethel Energy, BEE. In this episode of Riverdale's, we do have quite a few bees.
We did have so many bees. I know because I'm the queen of the bees.
Yep, and that's why I sang Royals by Lorde. You'll hear it at the end of the episode in full.
Yep, you're gonna sing Royals. It's gonna be great.
We paid for the rights.
For Royals, yep, by Lord. Royals by Lord. So, how do you feel about this episode?
Like
Yeah.
sort of up and down.
You know what I felt about it, actually? I mean, I actually enjoyed this episode more than I have the last few like real plot heavy episodes. I think that just because none of it was so contradictory for all the characters, which I appreciated. And there were actually a lot of it moved at a swift pace, and there were some really fun, interesting plot moves that felt satisfying to me. But that being said, there was still stuff in it that I'm going to be quite critical of. But this wasn't like a chore to watch this episode.
No,
Yeah, which
I
was
would
good.
say it was a miracle that it was not
Was a miracle. Oh, man.
talking episode. That particular storyline in this episode.
Well, we'll get into it. We'll get into it. So we open on Archie, who's being haunted by the ghosts of these infantrymen that he lost. And I did appreciate how, they used sort of the dead soldiers in the episode to symbolize his own guilt more than anything. I thought it was like smart and pretty atmospheric. And then we had a very important scene where Veronica drinks Kavita.
And her boyfriend or her husband, Chad's tie does not work with his shirt.
Not at all. Chad is, they really, it's interesting. They have really changed the way that Chad dresses as the season has gone on in order to sort of show how we're supposed to feel about him more and more and more. Because he was quite charming, I feel, at the beginning of the season, and we didn't know yet. And now he's almost dressed like a, oh man, oh no, I'm blanking on his name. Larry King. He was almost dressed like a Larry King in this episode, is what I would say with the suspenders and the tie.
I didn't notice most of what he was wearing, except for this first scene when the tie did not go with the shirt. So,
Yeah, though
like,
there was other anachronistic stuff like that as the episode went on. Yeah. Then we had a scene that I really appreciated where Cheryl and Kevin were going to sing to their congregation.
And before that, I thought there was going to be a different song. Multiple times in this episode, there was brothers and sisters, and then a pause. And I was like, this is a great way to like roll into Blow Gabriel Blow.
Oh, interesting.
And it kept feeling that. And then they pivoted and were going to do Joseph and got cut off.
Not Let's Go Crazy by Prince, you know, which starts with that big preacher thing. You know, we're
it
here to
does,
get through
but
this thing called life.
yeah.
Anyway.
Brothers and sisters, we're here tonight to fight the devil is the
Yes.
first part of that song, and they never do it, and they say they're going to do a different song, and they don't do it, and to be honest, it's best that they do neither.
Well, like when Penelope stopped them, was like, I have something, I have a decree, no more singing in my church. I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. And it felt a little like there was a self-awareness by the writers and that they were making fun of the fact that there's been so much music in the last few episodes.
Or at least in the church, and I think it is funny that they felt the need to put closure on that particular storyline, considering everything else they've let like drift into the wind.
Totally.
They were like, this is what they're gonna worry about.
So helpful. Yeah, like is Kevin still going to be the artistic director of the church? That's what's the question on everyone's lips. Yeah, totally. Then we get Jughead in a meeting, you know, some sort of AA meeting, which is I appreciated that they were dealing with this. I don't know exactly how you felt about it after all is said and done.
It's again interesting that they're like actually doing and showing what they should, but now that I've seen it, I'm like, this isn't my Riverdale.
Wow, that's I'm gonna disagree with you there in that. I like it when they're responsible with shit like that. And all I feel it does is make the characters more grounded, which makes the outlandish stuff more allowable, in my opinion. There needs to be a tether. And I feel like Jughead sitting in a meeting is like, that's a nice tether for me, at least.
I think early I would have been good with the tether to like keep it some ground so grounded, but it's flown so off the rails that now like I just want it to be a silly show.
Yeah, you
And
want
when
to
they ground, like I'm used to them like being just doing everything with reckless abandon, and it's become part of the charm. Like Ted Lasso has kindness, and Riverdale is just doesn't
Yeah,
care, just
Riverdale
doesn't
is
care.
cuckoo. Yeah, totally.
And not like so when they do care, sometimes it feels like out of place. And I don't mind it, but like they almost have to make that a little bit sillier too.
I think that's really interesting. Like, that is totally a question I'd love for people who are listening to the podcast to weigh in on, because I think that that's a real kind of aesthetic choice, and I totally get your point, and I'm just wondering how people are feeling about that. Do they want to see anything realistic from this show anymore, or do they really just want it to try to be as bizarre as possible? You know, is that why everybody's watching it at this point? Yeah.
And I feel like some of the stuff that's like when I think of Betty patrolling the Lonely Highway, I feel like having Jughead do this really reasonable thing, like, and Archie to agree, like paints what all of them are doing in like a reasonable thing.
I
Like
see. Yep.
the Lonely Highway isn't like quite crazy enough for me to be like, it's fine. Like it almost feels like they're trying to make us be like, this is good too. And like it's not.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, that shouldn't be looked at as like behavior to be condoned. But Jughead going to a meeting, of course, is something if you're having a problem, we would encourage. You
Yeah.
know, that's how this podcast feels. If you have a problem with substance abuse, you should get help. I know that's a radical statement to make. Then, like, speaking of which, yep, so then we get Jughead.
Is Alice is going through it.
Yes.
Like
I was wondering if Jughead was going to apologize to Alice just because they did live together for that period and maybe, like, you know, I'm sorry if I put you through certain things. But, you know, instead it's like Betty's not here, and then it's like cut to Betty pretending to be a hooker. And it's like, sorry, Betty is off pretending to be a hooker. It's like, oh my.
But yeah, Alice, like one kid died. The other's pretending to be a hooker. Her grandkids are ghosts. I don't know. We haven't seen them in a while. But they did try to kill people, right?
Yes, the
Weren't they like.
grandchildren are psycho killers. Qu'est-ce que c'est? Fa 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 fa. Yeah, totally.
Run,
But whatever. It doesn't matter. That's 2 episodes ago, so why would we care about it?
Yeah, I feel like, Alice isn't a great mother, but this is a lot.
Yes. Then we have the Archie scene where his pal, what's his name again? Fucking
Jackson.
Jackson. No, it's like fucking edit this out, Anjali.
Frank, his uncle.
Eric, Eric.
Eric is Jackson. Jackson's Eric's last name.
Yeah, Eric Jackson. It's because it's not alliterated, so I have a hard time remembering it on this show.
I can only do one or the other. And this week they use Jackson a lot.
He's like, just let this go, this dirty mission go. Like, haven't we all suffered enough for this? And like, I liked the way this was all handled. I felt like it was handled with appropriate gravitas. I have a major gripe with how it was handled that we'll get to it when we get to it, but
Okay.
I did like, I thought this was all written like a, once again, like a normal TV show. This whole
Yeah.
part with Archie fighting for, the memories of these dead people and what happened with this sergeant,
Yeah. Yeah. And there was a baseball game in the background, and I spent several seconds trying to figure out who was playing.
And could you figure it out?
So the person at bat, that shade of blue would be the Dodgers or the Rays. And based on where they're filming, I mean, yeah, they're in Canada. It would be not the Rays, the Jays. It would be the Jays. The Dodgers are over on that coast, but there's like three markets in between them. So
But you
was
don't
probably
think
the
they were just
Jays.
playing a baseball game?
Like they may have just picked one, but it feels like if they're in Canada and they're just trying to get like decent looking footage of a baseball game, it might not actually be that hard to get
Yeah,
like
Blue Jays
a Jays
footage.
game. And the team they were against was an all white, which could be literally anyone.
Any other like away team or whatever.
I mean, if it was an old enough game, I'm sure like with the Expos, it would be like pretty cheap.
I should start announcing this podcast as this is your only Riverdale fan podcast hosted by two grown ass adults. One is who is a baseball freak, and the other who doesn't know a lot about baseball.
Yep. Anyway, probably the
Anyway.
Jays is my takeaway.
So then we have Jughead. I loved this scene. Jughead apologizing to Waldo Weatherby about
And
just leaving teaching. He just ran away. He didn't hire a sub. He just. Guess who else did that? The entire cast of this show. Who's taught a class in the last, like, 8 episodes? No
No
one,
one.
right?
No one. And I will say at the end of it too, I'm glad he like accepted the punishment because it was extraordinarily reasonable.
Also, I loved how Waldo was like, I'm putting you on administrative leave, and there was like a bass drop in the soundtrack. It went like, ding!
It was
It was.
really hyped it up to be like an intense thing, and it was just like absolutely reasonable, not that
Yes.
intense.
Yes.
Like what you would expect from like a real situation. Like this is a little bit better than you would expect from a situation like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Just leaving your teaching job. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we have a very muddled plot line where Veronica needs cash because if she has cash, then she doesn't need to rely on what's going on with Chadwick, apparently. Chadwick will drag her under.
Sort of. Well, so it's not quite that, but at this point, Veronica is being investigated. I mean, Chad tips her off, but the SEC is going to investigate her for embezzling by looking at her bookkeeping, which she hasn't been embezzling, but it would reveal that they're in severe debt. So Chadwick reveals he not only calls the SEC on her, but he reveals that he like has money to fill in that spot to get her entangled with him again. And so she needs to fill that without Chad's help to not get attention.
Yes. Okay, that's fair. That's fine. Thank you for explaining that to me. It still doesn't make total sense, but fine. So then Reggie, much more importantly, it's revealed that Reggie and Hermosa had a fling. So that means Hermosa is officially likes men and women, which is fine. That's great. And that felt like it was hastily written into the script because they needed a reason to contact Hermosa. So great. Now Reggie and Hermosa, it's canon. Reggie and Hermosa had a fling.
Great.
Then we have, so like, all of a sudden now, and this is just like the way they write Kevin. Now Kevin is just like right in the machinations of this church. Like, this is the most important thing in his life. You know what I mean?
My biggest takeaway from the scene was that I really liked Cheryl's outfit.
Yeah, Cheryl's outfit was great.
But yeah, I just like Kevin's just like, yeah, I'll help you perform miracles. Like I took magic
Yes.
classes, so this is great. Like
Yep.
I would love to defraud the world.
So, don't you wish when they were like, oh, they're going to do magic, I was really, 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 really hoping that we'd just get multiple scenes with them practicing these tricks and learning about
Like
all
a
the tricks.
montage of them like picking cards and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
What song would they do it to?
I was like, let's geek out about sleight of hand magic on Riverdale for like an episode, and how charming would that be?
What song do you think the montage of Cheryl learning magic would be to?
I You Sexy Thing by Hot Chocolate.
Great, great. I
I
was singing
believe
Magic
in
Harper Ride because
miracles.
yeah, I was thinking Magic Harbor Ride because it's just like a little bit off.
Magic Harbor Ride's good.
This episode's really Arrested Development heavy now that I remember this illusions part.
Definitely. So Hermosa told, yeah, I don't have anything about that. Hermosa told Reggie where the Palladium is. Great.
Yeah, and then we see Archie like running through what ha or he was like explaining what happened to Frank. And I wrote that I don't really feel like seeing more war.
That's completely fair because they don't do it well. Those scenes aren't good, but I did appreciate the smash cut. Or the match cut that was Archie's eyes explaining and then cutting to his eyes seeing the war, that he's sort
Yeah.
of reliving this every time he needs to talk about it.
That was the only good part.
I didn't like, yeah, I mean, like, because they have to write around the fact that it's like this weird nebulous fictional war.
Yeah.
So then they're talking about going after a warlord. And yeah, to me, it feels kind of insensitive to everything that actual troops have done in the last like 50 years when it comes to fighting in actual American wars. You know what I mean? Like, I
Yeah.
almost wish they had just named it as Afghanistan, but then they would have to get political about Afghanistan and they're like too freaked out to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like,
now
make a
would
statement
be.
about Afghanistan.
Yeah, I don't know how they could have done it better, but it.
I don't know. I think it was rough. I think that, right when we heard him saying, I'm going to enlist in the army, and Veronica said, Archie, there's a war on, we raised the red flags that this was a bad idea. Like, we
Yeah.
haven't been on board, and it's because they kind of trapped themselves in this bad position to kind of fictionalize a war, which is like a very strange thing to do on a show.
Yeah,
So.
especially because they're like leaning into like things that have happened in wars, but like mashing the wars. And then I'm like, well, I don't know what else they'd like invent war tactics.
Yeah, I don't
So then
need a
it was
ma
they basically had to be
I
like
don't
a.
need a war that's a mashup. I don't need a war that's like the greatest hits of wars for Riverdale, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Because it's insensitive, it's weird.
I would say like the only war that I'm like, yeah, well, it makes sense that they made stuff up would be like space war.
Yeah, if
But
this show's set in the future, but it's not. Totally. That's why those sorts of shows can get away with that, for sure. That's, yeah, going into fiction like that. Anyway, so then we learn that, you know, Archie has this survivor's guilt because, you know, he should have, he re thinks he should have died. And then, is this when he confronts his sergeant? Or is that, no, that's later,
That's
right?
later. This is the first act
I
break.
know, we really got into the weeds here, but it was worth it. That
For
was
a
the
hundredth
first 10 minutes
episode.
of the show. So, only thing I want to say about Veronica and Reggie sealing the Palladium is that it wasn't clear how the Palladium was hidden in the model town, which was so odd to me that there wasn't a cutaway shot of them like lifting up a house and the Palladium
There
was
was.
underneath. Later, there was. It was like blocked and obscured and very weirdly directed, weirdly edited. I was like, because when something is hidden inside something else, that's a fun, cool thing to reveal on a show. You know what I mean? That's how storytelling works.
And like when the scene opened, it had a weird angle on the model city, and I was like, "Sire to dolls" for like half a second. Like I very quickly figured it out, but it was like for a second that he was going to be into like miniatures.
No, but I agree. Like, it was poorly shot and sort of could have been more compelling. Maybe the city wasn't well made or was somewhat childish looking and they were afraid to show it in close up or something. You know,
Yeah.
that was odd to me. Yeah.
It was really weird.
And then there was this whole plot line, which I have a feeling you're going to know more about than me. But, like, how can you take palladium and then just melt them into doubloons and be like, I'm selling doubloons. Aren't doubloons a ancient coin? I thought that was so weird.
I should look at if that's like if doubloon is like officially or like only a specific currency.
Yeah.
But what I will say is that I spent a lot of time looking up the boiling and melting point of palladium, and no, they would not have melted it down into doubloons.
Yeah, well, they somehow did this, like, because also you'd need a special type of mold to counterfeit. It was seemed really ambitious for what they were doing with the palladium, but whatever. And then we got a phone call. Oh, are you researching this?
It seems like doubloon has like really only been used for that term, but it's based on double escudo or double excelente because they would like smelt it, I don't know, and then put like a second layer on.
I see.
So it seems like they were using like doublooning as an action as opposed to just like a single form of currency.
Oh, interesting. So they were making something that could be sold.
Yes.
That is just sort of its own currency. That's helpful. I feel like that clarifies it. Just, but that's maybe. I don't know. I don't think the audience of this show would be like, oh, I'm aware of doubloons, but maybe they wouldn't care. But I thought
Yeah,
that
I
was
think
very
it's
strange.
a little bit too, oh, you know, she went to Cheryl because part of it is you can like really like invest and launder money and into art because it's like worth a ton, but it's not physically worth a ton. But now we do know that Cheryl was forging, so maybe there's an attempt, but did she spe say specifically when she was auctioning that it was palladium?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then I don't know. Maybe they're seeing it as art or something. But
Sure. Then we get a call from Sam
hold
Pansky.
on, right before that though, because she goes to Cheryl to say, like, can I pretend that this is from your
Yes.
place? And Cheryl, I paused it and wrote, I'm always happy for you to name drop my family in order to screw over your father.
Oh yeah, which was a great line.
Great
Absolutely.
line. And
I
then the
mean,
next thing I wrote was Sam Pansky.
Hiram, last few episodes, has just been slapped around. It's hysterical. I mean, I hope that they end up writing Hiram at the end of this season as like a man completely desperate, because I think that would be fun and like kind of crazy and exciting. But yeah.
I would like him to be like the just like the town kook where everyone's like fed up with him, and that's why everyone's being like kind of mean. And like
Yes.
so he's not even desperate, he's just like the town fool.
Yes. Yeah, totally. So then we have Sam Pansky, who really is my favorite character on the show at this point.
It, Sam
I
Pansky.
love Sam Pansky. I don't think we're going to see or hear from him for a while, unfortunately.
No, and it sucks because he has two M's in Sam.
Yes, Sam Pansky. And, you know, this is Jughead's last chance to write his book, and then he's sitting with Tabitha at Pops to apologize to her as part of his apology tour.
Yeah, and I will say right before that, when he is on the phone with Sam Pansky, there's a Pops food truck in the background. Have we seen that before? All
No, we have not. But that's
right, well, Pops
apparently
has a food truck now.
a thing that exists. Yeah. So I realized this gave me a more clear look at Jughead's tattoos. And I believe at this point that on one arm is Cosmo the Merry Martian, and on the other arm is Hot Dog.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what it was that I was seeing, and Cosmo makes sense.
Yeah, just because in the past, it's like, I think that's Cosmo the Merry Martian, which is an interesting Archie Comics deep cut. But, and then I was like, oh no, it's Hot Dog, but it's actually both because he has ones on both sides. Yeah.
Where is his serpent tattoo?
Maybe it got transformed into a Cosmo the Merry Martian tattoo. No, I think it would be further up on the shoulder, but you're right, it would totally overlap with one of those tattoos for
I just
sure.
remember because some of they have them, all of them have them like different places, and I couldn't remember where his was supposed to be.
Yeah,
So.
totally. Yeah. Jughead's is on his left butt cheek. That was all the entire plot of season three. Yeah. They kept saying that over and over again.
Yeah. Jughead keeps telling Tabitha, like, you didn't do anything wrong. Like, she did, though.
Yep. I mean, it was a real get out of jail free card for the writers to be like, let's all forget that this man was on psychedelics and this woman handcuffed him. Oh my God, I'm still mad about it. Handcuffed him to the desk.
Once
Oof.
again, they're giving closure to something we did not expect them to close on.
Yes, but did it poorly. Totally.
Oh, yeah, but.
I mean, that's the scene that made my roommate Marty stop watching the show because it made him so angry. So, next up, we have Kevin and Cheryl making water into
Wait.
syrup.
I do want to say that he, Tabitha tells him that her his transcript went with Jess and. Or manuscript went with Jess. And this is the first time of many in this episode where I wondered why people don't make copies. It is like Love Actually all over again. Why
Absolutely.
don't they make copies?
Yep, that's why you should always make a copy.
Always make a
Absolutely.
copy.
Absolutely. She just stole it right away.
Yep,
Also,
and he
like,
can't get
he
it.
thinks he can't get it back from her at all. Like, that felt a little hackneyed to me.
Yeah.
Like, at least give her a phone call.
Yeah, I don't it if it made copies, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
That's
So,
right. That's right.
but now Kevin is very into the showmanship.
Of this, of course. And like, I love that like all the like parishioners of the church are like, ooh, like they love it. And then they all clap.
I
It's so funny.
later in the episode wrote that these people are just like, sure, let's go to church in someone's house.
Yeah, let's go to
Like,
church in someone's house and watch a magic show. And let's get into this now. I was gonna talk about this later on in the episode. So it's very clear in this episode that they're worshiping Jason as a deity, which is insane.
yeah.
This isn't the spirit of my dead son is speaking to me, and he speaks to me and tells me what God wants. It's that Jason is the deity, which is very strange and wasn't clear until this episode.
Yeah, and all these people are like, sure.
Now, these people are like, cool. Oh, yeah, he's
Cool.
God now. Your dead son is God. That's what
Yeah, it's
happened
not,
with all these
he
people's
wasn't,
minds.
it's not even like he was martyred. They were just like, oh, some dead kid, sure.
Yes. So then Archie goes to confront General Taylor.
Nope, you're still way ahead on that.
Yeah, that's because there is nothing that was very important to me. What do
At
you
this
want to?
point, this is when Archie still starts telling Jackson and Frank his plan to go confront
Yes,
him. And
yes.
Jackson is like, I don't know, man, like maybe you should ask other people who were affected by this. And I'm like, yeah,
Yes.
it's probably a great idea. So I'm surprised that Archie did it, but then I don't think he actually, like, I think they were like, no, thank you. And then he was like, okay, and then did it anyway. So.
Well, yeah, but before he goes and talks to those families in the next few acts, he does go to General Taylor to say, I'm going to expose you. And this is when General Taylor says, who are you? Just some soldier from a podunk town. And I found that very confusing. So, like,
Does it
Archie
mean from
went
the same
somewhere
town?
else to go confront this guy? Did he go to Washington? Was this, I just didn't understand where this scene was taking place, or I was like, oh, they're not in Riverdale anymore? Okay. Cool.
Yeah, you know, it did not take place in my notes.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, I thought that was very strange.
It is, yeah.
And then I just felt like those two actors were working real hard for a really poorly written scene. That was where it was like, well, I'm gonna reveal, I'm gonna expose you. And then the general was like, no, you're not. And Archie was like, yes, I am. Like, it was really rough, I felt.
Yeah, I'm about done with them playing war.
Yeah. Then Archie goes to get the support of the families.
Before that, Jughead chooses to plagiarize and picks up that bottle of whiskey very showily.
Yes, just so we all know that he's drinking again, which is a big, 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 big problem.
Yeah, it was like a real long shot of him wistfully staring at the bottle and
Yes.
then ripping the cover off of the manuscript and calling Sam Pansky.
Yes.
But now Archie does go around and refuses to take no for an answer.
Yeah,
And
Archie
then,
goes on his little walkabout.
yeah, and then when he's like, okay, I understand why you would say no, he doesn't, and he just ignores them.
Yes, he just keeps going. Yep. And then Veronica shuts her dad out of the auction. And we had this, like, auction scene that was, like, somewhat exciting, but wasn't super exciting. But was, like, like, the pace was well, it was well edited and was, like, kind of
Yeah.
punchy. Yeah.
I don't know that she's like legally allowed to shut him out like that. And it feels like it would be
I
real
feel like if it's
easy.
an invite-only auction, what are the rules, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, that's I'm not confident that she was allowed to do that. And I was like, why doesn't Hiram just like tell on her? Like
Yeah.
she stole his palladium
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
refused and then didn't sell it back when he tried to buy it, which was kind of him. And like I'm not really sure what the downside is for Hiram of him telling on Veronica for this thing.
Yes, like calling the authorities, being like, here's a white collar crime. Yeah.
He's not actually like in any way implicated by it.
And theft as well.
Yeah,
Theft.
that's
Yeah.
the thing. Yeah. He could take her down for like several things.
Yeah. And she could go to like his jail. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. You're
Very
right.
weird.
It's totally odd. Yeah. And then we had the wounds of Jason scene, which is when I was like, oh, they're worshiping him like he's Jesus. But Jason never had stigmata, so
Yeah,
the
this is
Jesus
the scene where
stigmata
I.
is because he was nailed to the cross, just for any people listening who don't understand that.
Yeah, who aren't familiar with the death of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And this is when
Aren't you
I was.
glad you're listening to XOXO Riverdale to fill you in?
This is what I was really like, why are these people in this church? Because also, like, this seemed like the easiest trick to pull off. Like, the first one was turning water into wine, and then we'll see
Or
the
water
third,
into
but this,
syrup. Yeah.
right, water into syrup. And this was just like, she would have just like held a blood capsule and then squeezed her hand before opening it. Like, I don't, like, this seems like a very, very obvious trick.
Yes, and they were like, ooh.
Like the first one is I'm like, I don't know how they do that. I'm sure it's very simple, but I'm not like willing to like really dig in. And this
Yeah.
one was just like there was no digging in.
Yeah, absolutely. No digging in. Absolutely. And then I just want to talk a little bit about this scene where Archie goes and meets this wife of the soldier.
I have a thing too.
I thought that this is absolutely one of the worst actresses that has ever been on this show, and I was shocked. I was shocked that they couldn't get someone better for this little, eight-line role. Where she
Yeah.
was like, I have moved on from my husband dying, and my focus now is my child. I like, was this a contest winner? Who was this?
I will say about that child, how long ago was war? And then also, like,
I
because
thought the
the
same
baby was
thing.
like only, like, and I understand, like, okay, so she got pregnant before he died, but like, he, there's no way, I don't think that battle would have been like 2 days after he deployed. And this infant is like 4 months old, which means it has been at best a year. And I, I think that maybe war was more than that long ago. And I wrote, how long ago was war, TM?
No, how long ago was war?
How long ago was war?
Then we get that Cheryl's talking about her third miracle, and it's going to involve bees. And Kevin's like, I don't want to be anywhere around this. I'm allergic to bees, which is very fair.
And what I will say, too, is that it opened, and she was like, remember my little revenge against Mr. Honey? And I was like, no. And then she was like, it involved bees. And I was like, did it? Like, that did not really remind me of what she did.
I was thinking exactly the same thing. I was like, oh yeah, Mr. Honey, sure. Like,
I don't remember how they got rid of him, let alone that there were bees involved.
The main Cheryl revenge thing that I remember from that season, which was only last season, was when she locked that new coach into, which I loved, which is still one of my favorite things that's happened on the show. She locked her in a room, and yeah, then we never saw her getting out.
I believe that she used bees against Mr. Honey. That's a fun little play on words. I do not remember.
Yeah, totally, it wasn't. Yeah,
bees involved. Maybe there was actual honey, but like it just. And then maybe she was just like using it as a transition. There weren't bees involved, so like we don't remember. But if that's the case, they needed to word this better.
Absolutely.
And, yep, don't remember it.
Then we had this whole scene with Chad and Veronica, this dick size scene, where Veronica calls Chad after she gets off with him, a smug nitwit, which I just want to point out, cause I thought that was great language. And Chad's invested in something called Copter Cab, which is a helicopter company, like an Uber for helicopters,
right, to go back and forward from Marsh's Vineyard.
Yeah, and I was like, oh well, that sounds a lot like the way that Chad crashed his helicopter.
Yeah, I will also say right before this, Veronica sold the doubloons for $300,000.
Yes,
that feels low.
It certainly does.
Based on how much they're putting into this storyline, $30,000, $300,000, I mean, that's more money than I have.
Yes, of course.
It still doesn't feel like quite as much. And like the way that she's like really like not having able to fill up the books to show the SETC will like put me under. And it's like, you know, they crack down on small stuff, but like if the SEC was like called in such a serious matter for $300,000, they'd be like, what? Why did you just like send it to? Just like send it to collections? Like,
yeah,
what?
This is beneath our, yeah, absolutely. So then we have Jughead. He could have written a new novel in the amount of time it took him to read that woman's novel, you know?
Yeah, and he decides to send this in, and I'm like, but she could just, if it goes to print, she can very easily prove that she wrote it, assuming she kept copies.
Yeah, maybe that's her only copy of it.
And it seems like they have no way of saving copies here.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. In the Riverdale world, there's no copying, no copy making.
No,
and no files. Yeah.
No, no, no. It's against the law.
Yeah, exactly. So then we learn that. So then, like, we have this scene where, like, Eric is feeling conflicted.
Yeah,
so about coming clean because he feels like he abandoned his unit. And then this is like, just want to say some of the most Archie, like characteristic Archie writing we've seen in the entire series, where this character really wants to do what's right and come clean and there to be truth, which is like a real kind of Archie Andrew's characteristic. So like I actually kind of appreciate this, and I like it way more than him running around punching people in the face.
Yeah, that's very good, but it was also like very poorly written, to the extent where like by the end of the scene I was like, wait, so like is it a little bit Jackson's fault? Like,
yeah,
it seems
it's
like
debatable.
He was like following orders that he didn't like. It was not life or death for him to not follow the orders, and he knew they were wrong.
Yeah, totally.
So I don't know. going on. But Archie just does not care about everyone. He's like, I don't know, maybe don't go forward. So then Cheryl performs the Taming of the Bees.
Yeah, and then she said the line, I'm Cheryl Blossom, Queen of the Bees. And to be honest, I loved that and feel it's one of like the top 10 Riverdale lines of all time. I
Yeah,
laughed
what
out loud. I was like, oh, that's kind of fabulous.
I was real distracted by Chekhov's allergy here. Like, I feel like they really hyped up Kevin's bee allergy and then
And then nothing
they didn't
happened
touch
with
him.
it. Kevin was like there hanging out. He was like, great job, Cheryl.
She was like going off book because he didn't know how, like, it turned out he didn't know what she was gonna do, and she was like holding the bees, and he was just like, oh, you let the, like, it's like, oh, how'd you let them out safely? It's like, you just watched, she wasn't even supposed to do it. You just watched her let them out and you're allergic. This is, oh boy.
So then we have Eric and Archie in their nice outfits, their nice little army clothes.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, like here we go. Let's see this man be held accountable. And then we had a pretty good scene between Jughead and Betty in the bunker,
Yeah. Yes.
where Betty really talks about how she has this level of compulsion when it comes to serial killers at this point. And I thought this was pretty smart for the character. I don't know how you
Yeah,
felt about it.
I felt like it was like very selfish of Betty how she came in to talk about that. Like Jughead very seriously was like, I'm an alcoholic and I'm getting help. And then she was like, well, I just can't stop looking for serial killers. And let me tell you all about it. I'm not even going to acknowledge that you just said you were an alcoholic. I'm just going to talk about me.
I felt like it was a she was making a connection and that they're going to sort of reconnect as lovers is what I think is going to happen. I think they're end game and they're going to be like, we're both fucked up. Now we're fucked up together. And they're going
Yeah,
to
I
talk like
was.
that. They're going to start talking like that.
This episode filled like felt like it was very close to having I'm a weirdo speeches, and
Yes,
then
but not quite getting there.
they never quite finished it. There's an excellent monologue later, but not what I wanted.
So then, but Jughead's not sober during his apology, which is a shame. So he still has a lot to go, and I feel for the character.
So he calls Sam Pansky.
So he calls Sam Pansky and comes clean, and then Jughead has been dropped from Sam Pansky's roster, which is of course what you would do. But Sam
Right.
is so nice and fatherly about it.
Yeah,
Sam
he's
Pansky, class act.
really, I'm gonna miss Sam. He was so good to Jughead.
I hope he makes some return at some point. And then
Yeah.
Juggy turns around and Betty's pulled a Batman on him and is gone.
She's gone.
Yeah, like I guess she can do that now. Pretty
Yep.
mysterious.
Yep.
And then, oh, I loved this wolf of fake Wolf of Wall Street bro party. I loved it. It was what a terrible looking party. Awful.
An awful looking party, and Veronica came in a big opportunity to not have the flight attendant costumes from Toxic.
What did the flight
That
attendant costumes have to do with it being a helicopter company?
they forgot that helicopters and planes are different, and I wish you would stop calling them out on that.
I apologize.
They don't know how planes fly, and neither do we. So,
That's right. So how dare I? That's right. But yeah, they should have been sexy ladies with propeller beanies.
yeah, yep. There's a lot of things they could have done, and instead they went that. And there was a weird number of them too,
Yes.
because the way like five makes sense, like a standalone V, but like with Veronica there too, there were like six, and it was uneven.
Totally.
And then the one guy's boysenberry starts blowing up.
I'm so glad you caught that because I was gonna bring it up. Yep, I loved that. His boysenberries. And like Who
they've been using Apple products all episodes. So many iPhones, so many Macs, yep. And then he brings out his boysenberry.
And also, who uses Blackberries anymore? They don't make them. They don't make them anymore?
I think they were just fairly recently phased them out.
Oh my god. Yeah. So it's it was so funny and weird.
It was like how in the first season they were trying to make it seem like you didn't really know what year it was.
Yes.
But they forgot that they gave up on it.
Yeah, totally. And then Veronica has reported Chadwick's crash to the Wallbeat Journal.
Mm-hmm.
As well. So does this make sense to you that an investor in a helicopter company, if he's crashed a helicopter, it means the helicopter company's no good and the stock should plummet?
It's the type of thing that shouldn't actually affect it, but just people who put money into that things don't like anyone having a scandal involved.
Got it. Okay.
So they Yeah.
I'll allow for it. And then
but it's definitely a stretch that that's what it was.
Yes. And then Ronnie basically calls Chad a beta cuck.
Yeah. And then she goes into an excellent monologue for teen girls to do in auditions from now on.
Yes. Agreed.
It was great.
And Chad is so mad. Chad is so angry.
But the whole monologue is right at Hiram too.
Mm-hmm.
Veronica's had the best monologues in this show.
She did.
One is just really good.
And the writers did such a good job trying to give her an engaging plot and almost succeeding this episode.
Yes.
Totally.
And then she basically tells Hiram that she stole the Palladium because he hadn't noticed yet.
She confesses and he's
she fully confesses. So now he has a confession too. He has so many reasons to just turn her in.
Absolutely.
And that happened.
And then he goes to the little model town, which still isn't shot very clearly, mm-hmm. Sort of pulls a tree away, pulls out the Palladium, and the Palladium has been replaced with something that turns to dust.
It was his dreams.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly. And then I'm really going to complain about this. Archie and his little crew come back from the trial and are like, great job at the trial. That guy was discharged, the end. And I was expecting, because of the way it was leading up, some sort of trial sequence that was going to be a Few Good Men type thing.
Yeah.
Something like that, political army drama shit.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that they just told us that had happened and we didn't see it, I thought was insanely lazy and very weird.
It was so weird, but when it ended, I was you know what? This is great. This means we're done playing war. And then
truth.
I remembered that we still have to deal with Archie seeing those people. And it seems like we're seeing it a little bit manifesting as the guilt and stuff, that maybe that's gone.
Yeah, but because at the end, all the soldiers approved of Archie. So that means he's not going to see them anymore. Yeah.
But then we also know that the musical episode in two episodes is next to normal.
Yes, which is about mental health stuff. And they're going to handle it so well.
Oh, it's going to be so well done. And also I'm so he's not better. I mean, which he wouldn't be. There's still PTSD issues, but
of course,
it feels weird that they would understand that and will get rid of such an obvious sign of mental illness before they can sing about it.
So then we have this final act where Tabitha's I'm helping you, Betty. And Betty doesn't hold on one sec. My screen just gave out, which happens sometimes. I'm just going to give me a moment. I know how to fix it.
Sorry, this is a long one, Angelie.
Yeah.
We're not going to have time for me to sing Royal.
There we go. It came back. We are good. Okay, cool. And Betty doesn't fight against it at all, which is Tabitha being there is such a liability for Betty doing what she needs to do.
Yeah.
So then What the fuck is going on in this scene with Cheryl? What are they leading up to here?
It's a real miracle. She performed a real miracle.
So, and she feels that she's beginning to manifest, like, powers?
She's starting to really think she's going for sainthood here.
Do you think that they're leading into a season six where, as I predicted, they were bringing magic for the final season, and that she's maybe manifesting, like, abilities that she's some sort of witch?
It could be that, or it could be that this is going to be the next to normal plot, and then she's, like, kind of, because, like, and bipolar has, like, the manic element,
mm-hmm.
and this, like, all-encompassing, like, importance that comes with thinking you're a deity is, like, not a specific trope to that.
Truth.
So, that could be it, but I do feel like season six, like, we're really assuming it's the last one. And I've been pretty resistant to magic coming into this point. But once we know there's an end point.
Yeah. Like last five episodes, I want fucking Archie levitating around, shooting cats out of his hands, you know?
Yep.
So last thing I was just about this episode is I did think it was elegant how Jughead's narration was his discussion he was having with his people in recovery. I thought that was kind of cool. And that's it for this episode.
Yeah, well, he does say so. He acknowledges, like, the things he can't change, which is Betty, but then is like, I have a really bad feeling about this. It's like, I think probably everyone on Earth does, because it's a bad idea.
Because it's a terrible idea.
It's not like a weird gut feeling. It's just a very obvious feeling.
Yeah, like, don't do that. So that was this episode. Wow, we sure had a lot to say about it. Who was on your power list?
Vegas, number one.
Yeah.
And then Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
And then Archie, and then Tabitha, because who fucking knows?
Sure. I had, number one, General Taylor.
Great.
Then I had Ronnie.
Great.
And then I had Tabitha, so we almost matched.
Yep.
Who was on your crush list for this week?
It's occurring to me now that, like, for the 100th episode, we should have done, like, a super crush list, but we didn't realize it was the 100th episode until right before we recorded, so maybe some other time.
Super crush list is Moose and fucking Alan M. Come on.
Moose,
done.
Alan M, and Zaddy Keller.
Yeah, Zaddy Keller, who I haven't seen in a while. The end.
Yeah. But for this episode, my crush, I only had two. Sam Pansky.
Yes! Daddy Sam.
And I put Reggie because I was like at a loss for this episode.
Yeah, I put Kevin.
Okay.
Because he had that nice outfit on at the beginning of the episode. He was in the coat of many colors.
Yeah.
And then I had
the Technicolor dream coat.
Yes. And then I had Penelope for her like slightly melty face she had in this episode. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, I had the Good Time Girls.
Great.
Yes.
Here's what I will say in retrospect, talking about Joseph's amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. I was in the pit band for that show, and I have no idea what it is about. Not an ounce.
That show doesn't make a lot of sense.
I cannot think of a single song. My biggest takeaway from that show was that they decided at the end of the show to like drop the Technicolor Dreamcoat swinging down from the rafters. And decided that they didn't care where the pit band was, so I kept getting hit by the coat.
Oh, no!
And then so we moved me, and they were like, okay, that's great. But they, like, no one communicated that, so they moved the coat, too, and I kept getting hit. All the blue instruments were fine, but I was just off to the side getting, like, knocked over every night.
So what happens in the next episode of the show? What's the title?
Dance of Death.
Dance of Death! I hope there's an ostrich involved. This has been another episode of XOXO Riverdale. Thanks to our editor, Anjali Mercado.
And our theme songwriter, Louis Aronowitz.
You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, subscribe to our podcast. I'm Louis Perlman.
I'm Kate Batter.
Bye! Bye-bye.